listening to Wisdom of the Ancients, where ancient wisdom is remembered.
Hello, beautiful Wisdom Tribe, magnificent souls, every single one of you. Thank you so much for being here again. Thank you for bringing your incredible energy, your vibrant light. Thank you for being here in the collective energy of the Wisdom Orb. It's amazing that we're together again. We are having the best time. We're just having the best time on these shows. I just know that there's so much shifting that's going on, and that certainly isn't going to change today. So if you've come for a treat, you're in for a treat. We have a wonderful show. We've got an amazing guest, someone who's been on the show a few times before, and we absolutely love the conversations, and we never know where they're going to go, but they're always uplifting and enlightening and expansive. So we are weaving the web of light together. We are activating points of light, and we are those points of light literally on the beautiful web, on the beautiful grid, on the infinity grid, whatever you wish to call it. We're together. We're in the collective consciousness, and we are up-leveling each other and ourselves every single day simply by being together and coming together, for example, on these types of shows like today. So let us invoke the Ancient Ones as we start the show. Let us invoke and invite the Ancient Ones, Ascended Masters, all the beautiful, divine, beloved beings of love, light, power, and service, those spoken and unspoken, known and known, all the guides and our higher selves to really open up and support us today as we hear whatever message the divine wants us to hear today. So let me introduce our next guest to you. I'm super excited. Considered a world-class seer, Elizabeth Wood works on the cutting edge of galactic and quantum anthropology. Called Living Library, Oracle, and Wayshower, Elizabeth has spent her life studying anthropological theory, quantum physics, ancient and modern medicine, and futurism. Her philosophies and practices bridge science and spirituality to support real change in the world. And I always have the largest words to read. Whenever I bring how did I do?
Oh, thank you. I've really tried to make it easy to say, and it's not. It just isn't.
Oh, man. But it's such a treat to have you here because, you are such an amazing channel of truth. And what I love about chatting with you is that there's always expansion, and you get used as a beautiful, beautiful channel to expand all of us and have us, really think about things. Oh, yeah, okay, I see. It's really wonderful. So today, everyone, this is going to be no different. Elizabeth's topic for the day is consciousness under pressure. Have you heard that one before? Consciousness under pressure, discovery of light in the darkest moments, and how, germane, how... what's the word? This is really perfect for us because so many of us do experience darkness and density and suffering in various forms, and how density blocks the light, or so we think, and makes us feel separate, or so we feel. And then, of course, we have all the addictions, and we have the sufferings and the pain and the anxiety and the depression, and we have the comparisons and the judgment, and. So I don't mean to be, putting this in a light where it's fear-based. It's certainly not, because Elizabeth is going to help us look at maybe the other side of some of these energies that we feel, whether they are from within or from without. So why don't we start, Elizabeth? Oh, let me just tell everyone. So Elizabeth will be taking questions. So star 2 to raise your hand. Star 2 to raise your hand if you're on the phone or if you're on the webinar page. Then put your question in the webinar box along with your name. And, we don't really have any guidance for you with respect to questions. But Elizabeth, what sort of questions would be good for people to ask about the content or personal questions? Can you maybe share some guidance for people so that people have a better idea of what to ask you today?
Absolutely. I think two kinds of questions to ask right now, perhaps ask Source through me. What is the polarity that's most blocking you right now so that you can help heal it? Because we're going to talk about how to do that today. And then, of course, you could also ask, what is the quality of light that will most help me right now? So those are the two questions I would suggest would be most useful.
what is the quality of light that would most help me right now? So by virtue of that statement you've just made, I'd like for you to expand upon that, because when I think of light, I think of white light, you know, all the colors entering into a prism and emerging as white light. Of course, we do have various colors of light that we think about. We bring in indigo light, purple light, gold light, depending on what sort of meditation perhaps that we're doing or process that we're doing. But talk to us a little bit about the quality of light, because we are going to be talking about light and darkness. So why don't we start with that?
Yeah, that's a great way to go into it. So if you were looking at that white light, if it was run through that prism, right, you see so many different, many hundreds and perhaps thousands of wavelengths of light that come out of that. And each of those wavelengths is a frequency. And our cool, amazing bodies can perceive those frequencies not just as light or not just as frequency, but also as emotion. And so the emotional body, intimately tied to the physical form, can pick up those different frequencies and we'll feel them. So perhaps that indigo light, for me, when I feel that light, it feels very wide and broad and expansive, and it reminds me of certain emotions that I have, like joy or connection. And then perhaps maybe you look at another wavelength of light and how that might feel. Different qualities of light have different feelings in the body. So the human body is capable and wired to pick up those different frequencies and feel into them as an emotion, as an experience. And that is going to help a lot of people along the way when they're looking for certain qualities of light. It's like looking through a lens. And you can say, how can I find more joy in this experience right now? If I was to remember how joy feels and use that as a framework to look through, like a beautiful pair of glasses, a joyful pair of glasses, when we go through life, we tend to compound on our ability to find patterns like that. So certain qualities of light, well, they're going to show up as certain emotions as well and certain experiences. By using them, we can find more of it. So I like to use those qualities of light as a way for me to connect to how those qualities are showing up in the rest of my life outside my perceived self, so I can feel more connected to the rest of what that light is around me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So if we have a certain color that we resonate with, and I know, for example, we have, you know, I don't want to go too broad with this, Elizabeth, but for example, you know, there's certain gemstones or crystals.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
That are certain colors. And if you look at the ancient Vedic astrology, the ancient Eastern scriptures and texts, they will say that each of us are more aligned with certain colors and gemstones. So would you suggest on a practical level that we align ourselves with the colors that we most, I'm going to use the word seek, that we most
sure.
seek? So for example, to if we're looking for more joy in our lives, then we will surround ourselves with colors that that are most aligned with joy?
Absolutely. That's a really good process to consider, too. And a lot of people will relate emotions to different light, or sometimes they don't. But either way, if it brings you joy, certainly it's going to be supportive. And then there's a little bit of a different perspective, too. I see human beings as capable of maintaining and embodying all frequencies of light. And it's all about access. So if I look at someone, sometimes I'll be able to perceive, hey, there's a spectrum here and there's some big chunks missing from their big spectrum of access. And it's that density that we're talking about that blocks access to certain qualities of light. So we can both do two things. We can go in and unravel the density and find access to light. And we can also support ourselves by adding in more light around ourselves. That basically coaxes the body
towards a more whole spectrum of access. Mm-hmm. So I really think it's about access. It's about how much access do you have to all the dimensions of light? And what really blocks you from having access?
And when you're talking about light, you're talking about vibrations, right?
Absolutely. Well, if you look in quantum physics, if you look at like each wavelength of light that comes out of a prism and you took one wavelength out, that wavelength's going to correspond directly to a frequency. And we know that frequency and form are related, that frequency creates form, which means light also helps to create form. So quantum physics is all about how matter is actually both frequency and light. And I think they're all one. They're all the same. They're expressing each other.
What would you, if you had to define, Elizabeth, for everyone listening today, how would you define darkness? It's quite
sure.
a big question. Quite
yeah.
a big, but
suffering, big darkness, you know, all the dense stuff. So that's why I call it consciousness under pressure. Because anything that's dense, you know, we're all used to talking with very specific jargon about suffering, about darkness. So many of us, we have looked at things perhaps from a lens of evil, good and evil, right? And so we've gone through that polarity, and perhaps we've healed that polarity by finding a middle way out of there and saying, look, it's a big spectrum. And good and evil, these are cultural attributes that we're putting on things that might not necessarily be outside of our own cultural ideas, good or evil. So then we move on, we say, well, it's dark and it's light. Well, that's a polarity too. And then you go in and you really look at darkness and you really look at light. And they have certain qualities. Darkness is really heavy. It's really dense. It's really thick. Why is that? And so we go into it. We might go into that darkness and say, well, it's really dense. That's another way to describe it. Dense and formless. Light is more formless. It can flow. It can move through things. It can get places. But density and suffering, it feels heavy. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go into that density, what is it really? Well, when you find that you're in a case of suffering, in a moment of suffering, whatever it might be, no matter how small, no matter how large, that experience of suffering is actually your consciousness being put under a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure. So you go into an experience, it hurts, it feels terrible, it feels uncomfortable. The first thing you want to do is avoid it. You want to get out of it. You want to do anything to end it. And my suggestion today is that that's the wrong position that you're going to want to be in. You want to actually use this as your greatest advancement tool to go into that super dense, awful, dark feeling energy or experience. And so we'll talk about exactly how to go into it. But when I'm looking at suffering, it physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually is an experience that's pressurized. And so when we're happy, there's no pressure. We're actually feeling flow. We're feeling connectivity. We're feeling the opposite of pressure. We're feeling the flow of surrender with the rest of the universe. We're feeling like everything's going to work out in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But then all the rocks build up. All the different life experiences and trauma builds up. All the trauma from your ancestors built up. And then something occurs where finally all the pressure's built up so much and the desperation to get out of the pressure builds up so much that we call this suffering. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing because we have examples of how beauty can come out of such pressure, like diamonds and pearls and different kinds of beautiful examples in the natural world, where pressure is actually a good thing and the outcome is very precious and rare and special and has qualities of light that didn't exist before the pressure. And that's what I think is really the same about human experience. It's really no different to go into the pressure, to find what it is that has created that pressure, to understand it fully, to merge with it, then ends the power the pressure has over you. So that's my definition of what darkness, evil, suffering, density, what are they? It's all consciousness under pressure. Of course, if you weren't conscious, you wouldn't have the pressure. But the consciousness is everywhere. Conscious, everything's made of consciousness. And when you make it that dense, when there's that density to it, there's a lot of power and energy in that density. Just like atomic bonds, for example, we know that when you break an atomic bond, it makes an explosion so massive that it is mind-blowing. And what does it create? It creates light. And so even a simple atomic bond, which is also considered under pressure, that bond is very difficult to break. When you do open it up, there's all this energy, powerful energy, massive amounts of energy released from one single atom. And so that's the kind of power and energy that's available in suffering. It's so interesting.
So, you know, here's the question. When we are in suffering and we've been experiencing suffering for a while, I think that we are so focused on where we're in, the space that we're in, we might forget to look at the why and the lesson. So I wanted to get and the ability to literally break out of that. And so this is really key for everyone. And I know this because we have thousands and thousands of people writing in with questions over the course of a series, and we can only take so few questions. But I read a lot of them, and a lot of people are in pain. There are so many people writing in that said, "Help me. I have been in this place for years and I just can't get out." So, you know, that is someone's real life, quote unquote, situation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we look at this maybe with different eyes or from a different angle, what might we see?
Yeah. So this took me a really long time to figure out, obviously, which is why I'm very happy to share it. And having had a life of incredible suffering myself, I can't speak to the subject without that experience. And so at one point in time, finally looking at how dense my life really was and how much suffering I was in, and I said the same, "Help me, I've been in this for so long, I can't even remember being happy." And so a person in this position, many of us have all been there or are in that right now. Here's the precise path out of the jail, out of the torture suit, out of the pressure. Right? You must find it in your body first. You must find that intense, intense pain and agony. That fear must be seen. You see, we keep coming across these different patterns of fears. All of us have. So, for example, me, myself, having gone through lots of bad relationships, and then be like, "Wow, why can't I create a good relationship? This is crazy." And every time I find this fear of a bad relationship or the pain and trauma of the relationships I'd had before, I'd do everything I could to avoid it and say, yeah, I know there's a road of fear here. There's the signpost that says, "Follow your fear." No way, Jose, I'm not doing that. So I'd go on with my life and try to make it work. And then I'd come back around to the same road and it'd be saying, "You got to take this path. You got to follow your fear." Finally, having had a good teacher to help me do this, I was willing to take the path and go into the fear. And so I'd ask myself, right this moment, moment by moment, where is this fear? Where is this pain? Where is this trauma or this memory in my body? Where? Where in my body? You see, the body's the greatest tool for this. The body wants to give you access to all the dimensions. It's like a house that's filled up to the brim with trash. And we all wake up in these houses full of trash. 99.9% of it's all your ancestors' trash. It's not even your trash. So no wonder we wake up in these houses, we can't even remember who we are. We're just surrounded in trash. It's all trauma. till we start sifting through it and we start to realize that we have access, that the whole house is actually 12 dimensions worth of light and information if we're willing to go through the trash. We can't keep looking through the lenses of trash and then think that all that light of the soul that's moving through those lenses of trash too are going to attract the right people, because it gets distorted, or the right situations, or the healing, or the abundance. It's all distorting. It's very distorting because it's dense. And so you find it in your body in that moment of pain right now. If everyone at this moment has something going on, some kind of pain, where is it in your body? And so just notice that. Notice how your hands might tense up, or your feet get cold, or maybe the emotion seems to be in a weird spot in your body. Because the emotional body, well, it's intimately tied to every cell. So emotions can be all over the place and they'll move. So we notice it. So if I was to pull up this memory of bad relationships, immediately my upper chest gets tense. And so my body remembers this trauma. There is a trash bag there getting triggered, a trash bag getting pinged. It's dense. If it's dense, it will ping. It will trigger you. You'll have a reaction. When you've healed the density, you won't have a reaction anymore. Someone can say bad relationships and my body doesn't tense up anymore if I've healed it fully, and I haven't. So here I've got trauma from bad relationships. Immediately I feel it in my upper chest and my throat. And so we go into it, and there's a beautiful way for you to just position yourself, position your consciousness in that part of your body. So if I imagine myself as a little inch tall version of myself in my upper chest, and I sit in that terrible feeling in my upper chest about bad relationships, the first thing I see is this gray, nasty, kind of bluish, gross, sad energy. It makes me sad. So then I'll say, I welcome this sadness in my upper chest right now. And then we take a big, deep breath. So I've just welcomed it. I didn't turn it away. I didn't run away. I didn't deny it. I welcomed it. By welcoming it, by taking that deep breath, it starts to dissolve a little. And so then I say again, all right, bad relationships, this trauma about bad relationships, where is it now? Maybe it's dissolved a bit from my upper chest. Now I can feel it in this moment tight at the very center of my heart space. So I put myself there again, my consciousness there. And I actually see anger. I see anger and hatred. Hatred, which makes me very uncomfortable. I do not like to hate anything, let alone be angry. So being in this anger and hatred, I find it, I can see it, it's there. So I say, I welcome this. I welcome this anger and this hatred. I welcome it. And that dissolves a little bit. And then I'm still there, and then now it's deep in my stomach. So I'm going to do that again and again and again. And as I'm doing this, this is me sifting through the trash bags of trauma literally in front of you right now, my own stuff around relationships. Sifting through the trash bags of trauma quite quickly because I'm welcoming the whole entire bag of trash. I'm not going to sit there and go through every tiny little memory. You don't have to relive your trauma to heal it. You just need to know what the energetic density is that's being held in your body, being held in your DNA. Much of it, again, it's not always yours. Perhaps a lot of the trauma that in the past few minutes that I've just been able to sift through is trauma from my ancestors too. It gets all included when you're willing to go into what's so uncomfortable. And as you do this layer by layer, what happens is you start to feel lighter, more expansive, brighter. And beyond all that density, through that those heavy, dense trash bags of suffering and all those fears, me following that path of fear, going all the way into it, being willing not to avoid it, not to bypass it, to surrender to it, to go into it, to welcome it even, to become one with it. It dissolves it. It unravels it. And what do I find at the deepest, deepest depths of that dense, dense energy and pain and trauma about bad relationships? I find love. And there is a quality of light. There is a virtue there at the very center of, I find love for all those people. I unconditionally love them. It doesn't matter what happened between us. I can still love them right now in this moment. I still can love them because I was willing to shift through all the anger and the hatred and the pain. And that's the process that we must go through. And you can do this every moment of every day, welcoming what is showing up, welcoming each trigger, finding it in your body, merging with it there, finding its attributes, getting to know them so intimately that they are no longer going to cause your suffering. They'll no longer have power over you. And then the next time someone talks about a bad relationship, it's going to be a little lighter for me and a little lighter. And then one day I'll not get triggered by it at all. And this happens to almost every piece of suffering that I've ever had to go through. I've been able to find its depths all the way to the very bottom of it, to the point where someone can bring up some very intense stuff and I no longer get triggered anymore because the trauma was dissolved in my embodiment. And now I understand only the qualities of light at the very center of those incredibly dense experiences. And then that is the light that I can shine through, and it's no longer distorted. So now I have this beautiful unconditional love, no matter what, for all of the beings that have ever hurt me in bad relationships. That's okay now, because I never had to relive it again, but I had to go through the trauma and all the trash and sift through it to really find the light and the space and the expansiveness at the center. So does this sound like a useful process, Ian?
Well, it certainly does. It does to me. Beautiful process. I have a question around that, and the question that's coming up is around forgiveness. And is it necessary to practice forgiveness towards those people who maybe we feel have put us in that situation? And if we could talk about that. We know what we go through, and you know,
yeah,
nobody does things to us, but certainly, you know, on a, you know, in a human body, sometimes we feel they did that to me. You know,
yes, absolutely.
We feel wronged, and we feel that we're a victim, possibly. And then also we have ourselves who we carry guilt and shame and disgust and embarrassment around where we've allowed ourselves to go.
Yeah,
especially if we have others who depend upon us and families or children. Or even if we're alone in the room and we just feel embarrassed because we haven't been the best version of ourselves, and we know we could have been, and we made choices that were easy. And so what role does the requirement, if there is any, play in this process, the requirement of forgiveness?
Well, I have a bit of a controversial answer, because at no point did you hear me say that I forgave the things that happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe that forgiveness has to be part of the equation. I want to give an example. So at one point, I had this beautiful client come onto the phone with me, and she'd never talked to me before. And she said, look, I'm a very advanced teacher, but I have one thing that all these years has blocked me more than anything. I cannot forgive the man who abused me and my daughter. I can't forgive him, and he represents the patriarchy, and I can't forgive the patriarchy. And I said, wow, that's a polarity, forgiveness or not to forgive, to forgive or not to forgive. There's a polarity. And I said, what if the middle way is that you don't need to? What if you could just heal your own trauma and bow to the soul that you had this experience with? And just say, thank you. Thank you for teaching me about what I don't want. Thank you for teaching me about what is wrong for me. Thank you. I think gratitude's much more powerful of a way to end something than it is forgiveness. Now, to be fair, forgiveness is like a sword that's on fire. Forgiveness lights up old bridges and old umbilicals and chains and ties and binds, and it just lights them all up. It makes all those ties and binds and umbilicals irrelevant. Now, forgiveness can be used as a tool like that if that's what you really need to be able to finish the relationship you had with that soul. And that's what it is. It's soul to soul. We experience it, of course, as ego to ego, trauma to trauma. And we experience it as distortion to distortion. But the fact is it's these two souls, whether they realize they're souls or not, these two infinite versions of consciousness creating a specific type of learning. And so suffering is advancement, in that we advance quite far into what is love and what is not love, the ultimate foundation of all polarities. It's the ultimate foundation. It is what started this universe. What is love? Source asked. And then all the different versions of consciousness had to play out. What is love? And in that discovery, they find out, of course, what is not love. And if they're willing to go into what is not love, like a really bad, horrible situation, they're willing to go into what is not love, and they're willing to also fully learn the experience to its end, they will find love even in what is not love. I can find love even in all the trauma I've experienced. I can still find love deep in its depth. I can find connection and light by processing this way, by merging with the pain. I can end all the density and find the quality of light I want. But I don't have to forgive anybody. Sometimes we can. Sometimes it's not our responsibility. And sometimes we shouldn't. Instead, we can always be grateful that we had some experience to help us learn what not to do next time or what to do next time. We can certainly be grateful. And I find gratitude shuts doors faster than forgiveness does. So that's my perspective, only from my experience. And of course, I run all of that through my own ego. So people will need to discern deep in their gut if that's true for them in that moment, if gratitude's going to work, or forgiveness, or neither. But nonetheless, the welcoming of that dense experience can undo its power over you, and that is a good enough motivator, yeah, I think, to move forward.
Right, right. So, wow. Okay, this is a wonderful conversation, definitely expansive. So, what we're looking for is we're looking for that expansion. So what you've been sharing with us is a way for us to bring in more light and access more light.
Yes. In all the most dark and horrible places. And eventually someone who practices this state of merger all the time, they end up in sometimes positions where they're not getting triggered very much anymore. Now, I'm a good example. I have a really great relationship now. I have a lovely family. I have abundance. I have a home. I'm so lucky and incredibly grateful for all these things, because at some points in my life, I had the exact opposite. And so I know how valuable what I have really is. But then I get comfortable, Ian. And I'm a mystic. I'm not interested in remaining comfortable. This is not why I'm here. I am here to advance as fast and as far as a soul as possible. So I set myself up with an incredible life of suffering on purpose, I believe. And so now I find myself very comfortable and I don't get triggered hardly at all. And I have to go find positions and situations to trigger me. And so here's a good example. Yesterday, my mom, she got on the text and she was texting me, and my mom has a very specific viewpoint, and especially about me and what I do and what my gifts are and what they're not. And she's very judging of me because, well, she's my mother. And yeah. So she's kind of trying to nail me for some things on text, right? And I'm getting triggered, and my husband comes into my room, and he sees me furiously texting back, right? And I've got this grimace on my face, and he's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm texting my mom." And he's like, "Oh, okay." He knows, like, "Oh, well, there's something going on," because I'm getting triggered. I'm getting triggered because I'm on the defensive. I'm trying to defend myself to my own mom about my gifts and who I am, what I do, all these things. Perfect. Absolutely excellent way to start the day. Normal people don't say that. But I do, because I hardly get triggered in my own household anymore. I mean, my 3-year-old is real good at it, but my mother's excellent at it. So what a perfect, brilliant way for me to start the day, going in to discover what is the polarity. There's judgment and acceptance. Do I want my mother to accept me? Well, sure I do. Why? Where does that lead me? Whoa, deep into my childhood, deep into the worthlessness and the arrogance polarity, which was well established early on in my childhood. As the oldest of 7 kids, I had to be the absolute most excellent at everything I did to get the attention I wanted. And so then, of course, that immense amount of arrogance built up around that desire to be special. And underneath that, an incredible equal amount of worthlessness and self-hatred. And so just in a few texts, my mom brings up 2 massive amounts of polarities and trauma and pain deep, deep inside me, so that I can go in and systematically all day yesterday, every moment, going through layers and layers and layers of my mother's judgment and my worthlessness, my desire to be special, and my desire to be accepted, maybe even too, my fear of being special, my fear of being accepted, my desire to be judged, my desire to be worthless. And so going deep, deep, deep all day long yesterday, thankfully, thank you to my mother for giving me that chance to go through something that I hadn't had a chance to look at. And that's what a day in the life of somebody who is willing and wants the light deep down at the center of all the pain. They want access to it. This works. It works. Mm. By the end of the day yesterday, I had dug through so much worthlessness and self-judgment and self-deprecation and arrogance and desire for acceptance, desire to be special. I felt so much lighter and more expansive yesterday at the end of the day because I was willing to go deep into the trigger and not avoid it. I didn't shut my mother down and tell her, "Sorry, I can't talk right now." I kept welcoming her judgment because it was pinging me so deep. I could find all those trash bags that I didn't have access to until my mom texted me.
Lovely. Oh, love it, love it, love it. Okay, so let's ask the wisdom community. Let's ask the tribe. All right, tribe, who wants to find out where the light is that most needs, well, what quality of light most needs to be worked with? I didn't word that very well at all.
It's okay. So we have 2 questions. We've got polarity. What's the polarity right now that Source wants you to look at? And it's going to be nuanced, you know. Worthlessness and arrogance for me is going to be different for somebody else, but it's going to be there. And the idea is to, what is the middle ground? If you can find the middle ground for yourself and really look at how those kinds of suffering has showed up for you and why, then you can go in and say, well, what is the middle ground? For me, it was certainly self-compassion, deep compassion for the self, universal compassion. I deserve to be simply loved because I exist, and there doesn't have to be any more reason than that. And to embody that, then, to find that in my body. So people might ask, what is the polarity? Or what is the quality of light that can help me right now the most?
Mm-hmm.
What's the quality of light deep, deep underneath all the trauma that needs to be seen? Source knows. I don't know. Source knows. But my ability is that I can get out of the way and tap into that infinite internet and find it for you and just give you that chance. I'm like a library, and you can type in a question, and the question goes to the library, and the library gives you an answer.
All right. Platform line and a half. All right, let's go to Cypress, California, and 3467 are the last four digits of your phone number. So if that's your phone number, then you're on live with Elizabeth. Welcome. Anyone home? Hello, hello, hello.
Is it me?
It is you.
Hello,
it's you.
Oh wow! Oh, that's amazing. I don't know which one of the two questions would benefit me more. Could you guys choose for me?
Sure. I think the polarity, actually.
Okay, yeah. Yes.
And what's your name?
Oh, hi, I'm Barbara.
Barbara, nice to meet you.
Nice
to
meet
you. So I'm asking Source on your behalf, what's the most important polarity for you to look at the moment? And so what I see,
connection,
Barbara,
but yes.
Well, what I see is, yeah, there's the connection piece, but underneath all of that desire for connection, right, versus isolation, underneath
yes,
all
my
of that.
Connection to God as well and my own being.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's actually what I was going to say, is that there's this polarity, and it's, you know, the... It's actually around the divine, right? So we might say the polarity on one side says that the divine is there's the divine and then there's you. That's the polarity, right? But to bring the polarity home, here's a beautiful mantra to say to yourself every day. The divine is me and I am the divine. When God is sad, when I'm sad, God is sad. When I'm happy, God is happy. When I'm suffering, God is suffering. When I am in joy, God is in joy. Say this to yourself. When you're experiencing anger, remind yourself, when I'm angry, God's experiencing anger because God needed to experience this particular kind of anger from your particular vantage point so that God could understand that very, very subtle nuance. You see, your soul and your experience is so entirely unique. If people really knew how unique and incredibly, totally different they really are from each other, they would never compare because of how incredibly different each soul really is. But that version of consciousness that is you is part of that source consciousness. So that's what I see underneath the isolation piece has to do with, you know, hey, I feel separate from God, right? So hopefully that'll be supportive. Play with that mantra and see how it feels for you.
Mm.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Okay,
much
love, Barbara.
Thank you so much. Much love,
you
both. Thank you.
Bye. Okay, let's go to Cookeville, Tennessee. If your phone is registered to Cookeville, Tennessee, and it ends in 3651, you are live with Elizabeth.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. My name is Michelle.
Hi.
Hi,
Michelle.
Thank you, Ian. Hi. I like the last caller. Whatever one you feel is best, what is the polarity that's most blocking me or the quality of light that would most help me right now, whatever you feel is best.
I do see a polarity around abundance versus scarcity. And the middle ground deep in it, and it's also beyond just what you're experiencing, my friend. It has to do with your lineage as well. So what I mean by that is epigenetic memory. And this is just science fact that all of our bodies, this DNA that we have is full of memory. It's full of 500,000 years of memory. And that memory is from your ancestors and all of their trauma. So like I said, we wake up in a house full of trash. Most of it's not ours. But the biggest one I see has to do with starvation and famine. and isolation, like siege warfare, right? These are things that many of us have experienced in our lineage. And so our ancestors went through all of that. And that's very painful. So sit with that polarity. Ask your lineage to help you to see it and understand it. And as you go into it, you're asking, what is the middle ground? The middle ground in this case, which might be the quality of light that you're shooting for, is this sensation or sense that you're being fully supported by the whole universe all the time. You can't get to that sensation or sense until you sift through any of the trash bags that block you from that quality of light, right? It's moving through the density, unraveling it to find that light. But here you have a benchmark. I want to feel like I actually am connected and supported by the universe. You're going to feel that the more you're willing to go through the trash bags of pain and trauma around not feeling supported, and even worse, things like starving to death or being in poverty or being homeless, etc. Right? So does that feel true to you?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, good. I think
yes,
that'll be really beautiful for you to work with. Yeah, excellent.
Thank you. Much love, everybody.
Blessings. Okay, beautiful. Okay, let's do someone else on the phone. Let's go to, this is on the web, actually, and it's going to be from Newton Eycliffe. And if you're from Newton Eycliffe, you did put your name in, Michelle. So, Michelle, if you're on the computer, you're live.
Hello.
Hello,
Michelle. Hello. It's the quality of light. I think I don't know whether I need to go. My mother brought a lot of autoimmune diseases into the family, which is self-hatred, which she always told me she hated herself. I picked up that I hated me, and I'm now trying to love me. And I am working really well on that. So it's kind of a question about that of how, you know, what do I need to do to
I got your back. Here's the deal. Our parents always, we show up as these little bitty innocent babies in these very traumatized bodies. And the parents are often, they're meant to represent the divine mother and the divine father. And so if you're following your feminine line all the way back through, we've got all of these different versions of the feminine who had picked up layers and layers and layers of self-hatred, probably from things like slavery, even being held captive, these kinds of things, right? Along the line, if you were to sit in meditation, my friend, go deep into that lineage, follow the line, ask for your grandmother and your great-grandmother and so on, all the way back through. Ask to be guided in meditation all the way to the divine mother, the great divine mother. And there is the quality of light. You see, the divine mother, she doesn't have to do anything. Her presence alone is so full of unconditional love that it's incredibly dissolving. That light is so powerful, it will help you to dissolve this self-hatred along the way. You know what the polarity is already, but it's going to be the unconditional love from the true representative all the way down the line at the very, very beginning of the universe, the Divine Mother. That's where this unconditional love comes in, and it will help you to dissolve the self-hatred polarity that keeps showing up in your lineage so many times. But furthermore, it's going to help your whole lineage, your whole mother line, include your mother and all those women, many tens of thousands of women, hundreds of thousands of women along that line who need you, who's awake, who's conscious, to maintain that. So walk the path with them and say, all of you, come with me. We're going home. We're going home to where self-hatred doesn't exist because the love is so immense and so pure and so unconditional. There is no condition or line or any strings attached to what we can receive. Take them with you and do this every day for a few months. Do it every day for a few months. And what you'll find is that those layers and layers and layers of trauma around self-hatred will begin to dissolve. And you'll feel that love much more apparently. And you'll feel loved by your lineage finally, because they will be so appreciative for what you've done for them.
Yeah, they did tell me, in meditation that I could use the 8 Genesis cells to sort of heal the family lineage and therefore to, you know, obviously it would become available and go out to humanity. But I don't really understand energetically about the 8 Genesis cells other than sort of religious or scientifically.
Oh, sure. Well, I think, you know, being someone who has had past lives where I helped create DNA and was part of that team, when we first created DNA, we created DNA because of two reasons. One, we wanted to play in all dimensions all at once, because that is exactly what the human body is capable of doing. And we wanted to play in all dimensions at once. We didn't just want to go one by one. We wanted access to all of them all at once. And the second reason was because we loved so deeply and so immensely any of us who might have had that history, we really wanted access to memory. DNA has memory. In the higher dimensional bodies we lived in, we didn't have the kind of physical embodiment of memory like the human body does. And we wanted it. We wanted access to it. Because all the memories of all of our lineages were so beautiful. And we wanted it, you know, good, bad, and ugly. And all the beautiful, too. We wanted access to all of it. And so it's all, again, about access. Don't worry about all the details about the cells and all of those things. Don't worry about that. That'll unfold, because as you go through this, you're moving so much trash out of your whole system and out of your DNA. It's going to help to not only support the healing of your genetic disorders, which are all simply mutations caused by trauma, and it's also going to help you to feel that expansive access to unconditional love, to the light, and, of course, heal the lineage and its memory. So the details of all of it will unfold because you'll remember more. One of the things that happens to people as they heal this trauma layer by layer, they end up having access to soul memory. And so original humans who came into bodies that didn't have a bunch of lineage trauma, they had their soul memory intact, which is why I sound so confident that I can talk about why we created DNA, because I remember it. I remember it because I've healed the trauma that blocked me from the memory. So this is what you'll have access to as well. All of that will make much, much more sense along the way as you shift the trauma.
Beautiful. Thank you, Michelle.
Oh, awesome. Thank you both. Blessings, everyone.
Blessings to you, sweetheart.
Thank
love.
You.
So beautiful. Elizabeth, that sounds like an incredible guided journey waiting to happen.
Right?
Yeah, taking us all back to, you know, meeting the Divine Mother. Wow, that sounds so beautiful. That's a beautiful activation and guided journey waiting to happen that just was birthed right here. Yeah. All right.
I'm very proud for her.
Yeah. I mean, how powerful. I mean, and how just raw, you know, I don't know about anyone else. But when you were sharing with her, I just felt this, you know, emotion and love like well up inside of me. And I could just feel the healing and the shifting that was taking place, but it's so much more in potentiality. The potential
right.
healing.
So, yeah, the potential, yeah.
Yeah.
And we can feel it immediately. Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone, every single person listening right now. can do that. That's for everyone.
Yes, you can.
And so, you know, that's one of the beauties of, you know, the divine selecting those people who are meant to be selected on the phone. So often, you know, people go, oh, I wish you could pick me. But it's the what the divine wants us to hear, we will hear. We
yeah,
will
exactly.
Hear. What we need to hear. But that being said, I do want to go to the web as well, because I do like to, you know,
yes.
honor as many as we can. So this is Homa, H-O-M-A, from Indiana. What quality of light inside me does Source want me to see?
Yeah, beautiful. Ooh. So, Homa, I see sort of a combination of two qualities of light. You know how you might mix paint, right? So one is abundance and one is healing, and it becomes its own thing. So we might call it how abundance can actually help us heal. A lot of times people are saying, well, I need to heal so I can get to abundance. But then when you're in abundance, it can heal you at the same time. So it doesn't stop. And what I see is that will point out what I think everyone and myself included has figured out, is that this is a triangulation. A quality of light will often give you a clue about what the polarity is or what the trauma is that you need to look at. And so that trauma is going to be around scarcity. It's going to be around feeling like you can't heal enough to be able to meet your own needs. And so, Hama, that's showing up. The quality of light, then, if you're asking for that, you can ask Source, show me, help to fill my whole body and field. And you can ask your heart, dear heart, please fill my whole body and field with the healing of abundance right now. And then take a deep breath. You can ask to shift out the density, too. Dear heart, please lift all the density around any kind of scarcity or poverty that might have, or lack of healing that might have blocked me from being able to feel like I could have abundance. Shift that out of my whole body and field now. And then you take a deep breath and then you replace it with the quality of light you want. Now you keep doing that a little bit every day. You're going to be able to go through some stuff and your soul is going to bring forth some very interesting conversations and situations that will trigger you just right around that healing piece and that abundance piece. And when you get triggered, you'll know, oh, good, I just was able to find another big trash bag out of that I got to look at. All right, so I'm going to go into that feeling and find that feeling of scarcity and I can't heal enough to be able to meet my own needs in your body. Find it in your body. Notice it. Go into it. Merge with it. Welcome it. Help dissolve it. Knowing that your benchmark is how abundance can heal. It's that you don't have to only be doing healing to receive abundance. On the other side, you can always find that abundance itself will heal you as well. So it's a double whammy. You can burn the candle at both ends. And so that's what I see for you, my friend.
Thank you so much. This is Jane from Edinburgh in Scotland. What is the polarity that which is blocking me right now?
Jane, deep in your gut, there is an energetic around depression, and this depression is something you've tried to avoid, which is fine, because we subconsciously will use the most uncomfortable emotion we have, oftentimes, to block us from deeper stuff. So let me use myself as an example real quick. Anger. I don't like to be angry. I will avoid it at all costs. And I've hidden all my worthlessness underneath my anger. So if I'm avoiding my anger, oh, I'm certainly avoiding my worthlessness. Well, by going into the depression, like I've been able to find this anger, going into my anger, being willing to fully feel it, full body, head to toe, horrible feeling, right? It's like going through a waterfall where you're just being pummeled, right? But it's temporary. Find it in your whole body, this sadness, this deep, deep well of sadness. Find it. Go into it. Go all the way through it. On the other side of it, you're going to find things that you've hidden from yourself subconsciously, other uncomfortable things like worthlessness or perhaps, in your case, some anger, my friend, because I see anger hiding behind your sadness. You've hidden it there for a reason, because the anger is going to show you more. It's going to show you even more dense stuff, more worthlessness, more pain, more trauma. Now, here's the deal. Again, you don't need to know all the memories that created all this stuff. You don't need to go into all the memories. You just need to know the feeling of it right now. So if you're willing to spend some time going into these layers that are deep in you, you're going to be able to find the end of the polarity of anger versus apathy. Because underneath all the depression and sadness is that polarity. And when you bring it home, you're going to find a sense of expansive calm and love and joy that you haven't had since you were so small. And that's the quality of light you'll find if you're willing to go through that.
Thank you, thank you. All right, well, we could be here all day, all night with readings, but we... my favorite too. Yeah. Which, by the way, everyone, I've also had some private sessions with Elizabeth, and Elizabeth has really shed some light on things that have been going on in my life and helped me through some things, but also helped me understand ways that I could approach the situations and energies to really help me be more fulfilled. So let's get to that. Let's talk about that. It's part of your offer. So let me just share with everyone firstly, we will get to more questions. But let's also share with everyone what your offer is, because there's some really beautiful things that you've brought to the wisdom community today, and some are actually very new. So everyone, if you're on the webinar page and you'd like to follow along, I'm going to have Elizabeth share her offer right now. So click on the special offer button underneath her photograph on the show page, you know, on the webinar page. And if you're not on that page and you would like to follow along, then type in WOTA show, that's WOTA show.com/Elizabeth, which is ELIZABETH and the number 9. Everything's lowercase, so that's WOTA show.com/Elizabeth9. And you can follow along visually as she takes us through this. So please, Elizabeth, take us through the options that you provided today.
Thank you. And as a note, a lot of times people are used to packages building on each other. And in this case, this is not the case. These are three very different packages. So the first one is a compilation of all my very best work over the past 2 years. So it's still very relevant, and it's, well, some of it's very new. So in the package A, I wanted to make sure, Ian, that in this case, nowhere else, and people can get access to all of these all at once, immediately, instant access. We have Quantum and Galactic Anthropology. It's a class where I talk about what is quantum anthropology, the study of quantum physics as it pertains to human experience, and the galactic part of the human experience too, which is galactic anthropology. And I also introduce you to a mapping technique that I developed when I was in college that my teacher said was so clear and so useful and yet so dangerous that they warned me not to teach the public, and I'm teaching the public. 10 years later, it's time. It's time for all of that to come out. So I give you an introduction to that mapping technique. Then the second class is creating change. Like, we go in, we're going to really look at that technique, and I'm going to, in that class, you get lots of examples of exactly how to use it for your life in order to create change. What I was known for in anthropology and academia was being someone who was very good at creating predictive models, but also being able to implement actual real cultural change at any level of reality. And that's what I was known for, and I get to share it with you finally. Here we go. And so then we have the multidimensional mastery course, which is a set of 4 classes. And the first one's all about time, the playground of time. Time is not at all what most people think.
And then, of course, equations for enlightenment. There's been some very clear equations that we can use. One is a sort of a mental equation. The second is an actual golden ratio equation. And the third is a sacred geometric equation. All three of which I've seen many people who've attained higher states of consciousness use. I'm very good at seeing patterns. So I was able to determine these things just for us to play with and use. And then we have the second class is all about soul skill sets. Each of us have skill sets that our soul has gotten to know the best, sort of like spending a lot of time in a certain part of the library of consciousness. Perhaps I might have spent a lot of extra time in the psychic part of consciousness versus others. And so we can determine these sorts of things, and I have a bonus class added to it to help you determine that for yourself. What are your soul skill sets? And then one of probably the most important classes I've ever taught is about full body discernment, how to use your physical body, your brain, your mind, and your heart to make good choices about anything, about ice cream to relationships to where to move to jobs to anything. The body is your greatest tool for discernment. Then we have a new class that I'm adding on to this, which is called Creating and Maintaining Spiritual Power. Power is light. Light is power. How do you create and maintain that light? What keeps you from maintaining that light? How do we leak light? How do we make sure we can keep creating and maintaining more and more light, keeping our efforts and consciousness and ascension going? And then I have a class that I taught called Spiritual Etiquette and Equanimity. I talk about etiquette, how to do certain things as we move into the spiritual realm, how to be able to get the most out of our experiences and help others around us. And of course, what is equanimity? What is equality? How can we cultivate them? I added in another talk as well about human history. A lot of people want to know what my opinion is as a galactic anthropologist, what the true human history lineage and experience has really been. So I'm always learning on that. I don't think anyone finishes learning about it, but I get to at least share what I know now. And then, of course, anyone who joins my community gets to come and join me each month for a special call. It's a monthly call we do live, and we get to come together for a couple of hours. We build a pillar of light, which is a spiritual object, for a special cause each month. We get to talk about what's going on in the world, and we bring the personal up into the universal together every month. And that's just to add in some really fun things that I love. My husband's an incredible musician and producer, and he goes by Bioluminescent, and I've added in a meditation compilation that he wanted to give to everybody. So that's the first package. And then the second package is a bit different because I have a whole other set of items that I wanted to share with people. And the first piece, of course, you get both the quantum and galactic anthro and the mapping classes, but then you get this really great interactive ebook that has videos embedded in it and content and pictures that I've actually personally wove a whole lot of different light into. So it's got a mystical attribute to it. It's an interactive ebook called Cultivating Non-Judgment, The Art of Psychic Lenses. It's a self-guided retreat. And what I've done is I've combined my anthropological training with psychic ability. So it's a very unique methodology of being able to cultivate non-judgment, ending expectations, attachment, and judgment, and being able to use your psychic abilities, of which all of you have. If you have an imagination, you have a third eye that's working. And we're going to use them to help you with everyday experiences to be able to stand in objectivity and really get the qualities of light that you really need out of any experience you experience. And then the next interactive ebook has an audio that goes along with it, but it's called The Fields of Limitation and Limitlessness. And so there are five fields of limitation which were programmed into humankind. And for example, the fear of death, that's one of them. We go into, well, what is this fear of death anyway? Why does it exist? And how do we undo the damage of fear of death to get to the field of limitlessness, which might be the celebration of the law of destruction instead of the fear of it. So that's a good example of what that book's going to walk you through. And then, of course, that subscription to the monthly call. And the last package is my favorite because we get to talk.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a 30-minute one-on-one. And we get a lot done in 30 minutes, by the way. And so most people ask me, well, how do you work? When you come to a session with me, I'm going to ask you, what is it that you want to look at? You can hone it to an energetic alignment, what the next steps are, a third eye assessment, maybe what are your soul skill sets, what is a blockage that you might like some support and ideas clearing. Or we can look at whatever source wants to show you, whatever it is that you'd like to look at in 30 minutes. Bring one big, huge thing to the table, and we will give you the tools, mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual, to make sure that you can move through that to the next step. And so I'm really excited about that. I'm only offering 15 of these one-on-ones, because if I don't offer a limited amount, we'll end up talking for, I won't stop working.
Yeah.
And so then for that package, I also wanted to add in a group call, Ian, because honestly, I like group calls. I like group calls. People get on. I never make it more than six people. We get together, and Source puts the most perfect people all together. It's incredible. It's mind-blowing. Every time, the people who get the readings in that all needed to hear each other's readings every single time. And so each person gets a 20-minute reading. We stay together usually two and a half hours. And you don't always have to stay if you can't and you just want to come in. But I really do like it if people can stay, because I like to have people give feedback after each reading, because all of your wisdom is so precious too. And so it's really fun. I really enjoy doing group calls. So you get one of those too. And then you also get to have the classes around galactic anthropology, the mapping class, the cultivating non-judgment, and of course the book around the fields of limitation. And you get to join us each month for our live call as well for that third package. So this is not found anywhere else, because I love Ian so much. I wanted to give his community the very, very best I can possibly give.
Thank you. Wow, beautiful, beautiful. So much here, for growth and expansion. And, you know, in that package C, not only do you get the 30 minute, but then as Elizabeth was going over, I didn't catch this in the beginning, but it's a 20 minute reading as well. So everyone gets, so you actually almost get two sessions.
Yes, you get two. One's in a group and one's on one-on-one.
Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth. This is a beautiful, beautiful offering that you've brought everyone today. So much.
Very happy to.
So much to learn, so much to absorb. There's beautiful vibrations. Everything's been infused. I just know it. And this is absolutely going to help your understanding and your growth. And, you know, one thing that you've seen with Elizabeth as well is that, you know, she'll show you the path to the light. It's not just
always.
It's not just chatting about the esoteric. It's like, here's the path. You know, we can talk about it, but then I can show you too. And Elizabeth is wonderful in those ways. And for example, when I had my private reading with Elizabeth, I was sharing with her that I was going to travel somewhere in the world, and she said, I know, and I hadn't told her yet. And she, I know, and this is why you're going there, and this is what you need to do while you're there. And she gave me some very, very specific things to do, which made a tremendous difference to my experience down there. And, you know, so really she was that light on my path that I needed. And of course it was destined for me to have that reading with her before I went, because that was going to enhance my experience and help me grow spiritually when I was down there, help my soul evolve. So that was so special. But when she said to me, oh, I know you're going, I hadn't told you yet. That was like, okay. Yeah. Lovely.
I like to have that big old flashlight and say, all right, where are we headed here? what's going on? Let's find out. Let's come together. Let's take a look.
Yeah. Yeah. So beautiful experience. If you haven't had a reading, I know many of you have because Elizabeth's been on the show before, but you know, you can, every time something new comes up and your life is changing every millisecond and things are happening in your life. So if you've had a reading, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you haven't had a reading from Elizabeth, I highly suggest that. So feel into it. It's got to be right for you, and you've got to resonate with that. Feel into it. If you feel guided, if there's any guidance, then I absolutely do endorse and support you having a reading. I've had multiple, and they really are special. There is a huge light shone, and you'll go, okay, I get it. I get it. I understand. Well, beautiful. Well, thank you again for that, Elizabeth. We're going to switch. Yeah, absolutely. We're going to switch back to the phones now and go back to our favorite part, which is service to the beautiful tribe. So let's go to, here we go. Inverness, Florida. And 2021 are the last four digits of the phone number. If that's you, you're on live with Elizabeth now.
Hi, Anne. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi there.
Hi. This is kind of, I don't know if this is veering too much off the topic, but I've been shifting through so much lately, just boom, 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 boom. And now when I'm laying down in bed, I'll get like a full body zing. And non-human being will appear. So I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that. What is that? Is that a polarity being shown to me? Am I calling that forth for a reason? I mean, what would
So you have a full body experience and then something appears. What is exactly that it appears?
Well, it's just different looking beings will appear. And it's been going on now for, I don't know, a couple of weeks, but I've always experienced off and on things, but it's like, you know, I don't try to have it. I'll be really tired and I'll want to lay down in bed and I'll want to relax. And so I'll get into more of a relaxed state, and then all of a sudden that'll just charge me up and of course confuse me.
Sure. And the beings, when you ask your gut, are these beings there to serve you right now? What happens? Do you feel that's a yes or a no?
Well, that's just it. The energy is so overwhelming and foreign to me that I'm having difficulty discerning whether or not this is just such a, you know, different energy that I'm not used to.
But in this moment, as a practice, at this very, very moment, I want you to go deep in your gut. Yeah, go deep in your gut with me right now. Put your consciousness there. Maybe position yourself there in your gut, right? And ask the question at this moment, dear gut, do these beings want to help me, or do they need me for something? Do they want to help me? What's the answer you get? Yes or no?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought. So what I'm perceiving, honestly, is that you've got some energies that are attracted to you right now, which is fine. So something's attracting them. Something's bringing them in. When you're exhausted, that's not very fair that you might get charged up and then start seeing stuff. That doesn't seem like it's in resonance for your survival, and I think your gut knows that. So, nonetheless, they've showed up. They, you know, you don't have any reason to really be afraid of them at all, but they are there because there's a certain kind of energy they're interested in. So that would be the polarity they're interested in. Let's ask Source. If I ask Source right now, what is the polarity? On one side, I see a lot of suffering. I see worthlessness. And on the other, I see a deep desire to be heard, to be seen, to be able to go out in the world and do the work you really want to without arrogance. You desire that. You desire to be heard. Your story is important.
I'm on live.
And So there's a blockage going on, and that's causing a distortion. So you got to go into any fear you have around being seen, which is going to show you a bunch of worthlessness stuff. Going into the desire to hide, going into any traumas you've had about being ridiculed, right? Go into these, find them in your body, welcome them, dissolve them, and what you'll find is that it'll lighten up your field and you'll stop getting bothered by these beings, because that's what they're picking up. Some beings just find distortion really delicious. So you're like popping out bubblegum for them every time they show up. So don't worry about that. Just go deep in and find the distortion of this, of these particular attributes I've named. Go into the feeling of it in your body, dissolve it, and then you'll find that they'll stop bothering you real quick.
That is so wonderful. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
You're talking to me, but I didn't know how, if I should even bring it up, but it's
I'm so glad you did, my dear. I'm sure many others needed to hear it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Blessings, sweet love. Bye now. All right. Yeah. Just such a matter of fact, right? So matter of fact.
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Camden, South Carolina, 5864. Those are the last four digits of your phone number. That's you, and you're live.
Hello?
Hello, welcome.
Hello.
Hey, I've worked with you before, Elizabeth. My name's Terry. I'm in South Carolina.
Hi, Terry.
My question is, I've been helping a homeless guy, and now his truck is on a part of my property and some belongings. He's staying in an abandoned house. I bring him food from the food bank because I volunteer. Anyways, and I'm trying to set a boundary. I don't want to be mean,
yeah.
And he's got a dog, and I did let him sleep. I blew up an air mattress in my house. It was, like, down to 25 degrees last week.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah.
But besides that, you know, I'm just not sure what boundary to set, and I don't want to be mean, but I'm getting tired of this.
You know, have you actually sat him down and said, you know, man, we got to create some boundaries. What kind of boundaries do you think we could create together? Have you asked him that?
No.
So as somebody who I really enjoy working with people who are in such tough situations like this guy, because the challenge is so immense and they often feel like there's no possible way out of their hole, but there is. And he knows deep down with that generosity, you know, he was able to survive that night because of you. He's in gratitude. There is a lot of gratitude, which makes him much more responsive to you versus other people at this moment in time. Have a sit down with him. Have a sit down with him and say, so we got to create some boundaries, but we got to do it together. I don't want to just create boundaries and push you away and hurt you. And I know you don't want to do the same. So what are we going to do? We got to create some boundaries. Let's do it together. He's going to respond to you because you're going to do it out of love. You're going to do it because you care. Because you care about him, but you also care about yourself. And one of the things he's missing, my friend, is that he doesn't care about himself. And so if he can be shown what that looks like, how can you care about yourself and also not stop caring about other people, but create healthy boundaries at the same time? By asking him that quality of question, he's going to learn from you subconsciously what that looks like. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he needs you
tomorrow.
To show him that. Yeah, good. You do that. And by the way, you know, email me. Let me know how it goes.
Okay.
Great.
All right. Thanks, Terry. All right. All the best to you. We got you here. All right. Holding space, but emanating. We're emanating.
Yes, emanating. Yeah.
Emanating.
Boundaries and self-care.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Austin, Texas. It looks like 5415. We'll take a caller from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Elizabeth. It's Miriam. How are you?
Hi, Miriam. How are you?
We, Good. We've spoken before, and I loved our conversation. Similar to the first lady, you know, I feel like I've been under attack. Every time I release and I try to live in the light of the Lord, I'm trying to understand what's going on with me and how can I reconnect with the joy, my joy, which is what I ultimately am trying to reach, you know, to live in that peaceful place with Lord, with God.
Of course.
Any guidance? Yes.
Yeah, I got you. So we all have said this. I feel like I'm being attacked.
Yeah.
We've all said this, right? And so that's saying, like, this is happening over and over again. There's a repetition here. That means that on your spiral walk of life, it's never a straight line, right? On your spiral walk of life, there is a polarity or an energetic that keeps attracting this personal, this experience of being attacked. Because underneath all of it, it's showing you, hey, the road higher is going to be you going into the experience of being attacked. So in meditation, I would like you to really sit down and say, all right, when I compile all these experiences, again, you don't have to relive them, but when you compile them, what's the common theme? What's the common feeling that you get? And you're going to want to name the feeling, like you're naming a frequency or a wavelength, right?
Yeah, like unworthiness.
You name the feeling.
Yeah.
Unworthiness, very good. And so then you'll sit down and you'll say, where do I find this unworthiness in my body right now? You don't need to relive it to think of it in the past. Yeah, very good. And then you'll make yourself real small. And if you were to sit in your stomach, what does it look like? What's the first thing you see in the stomach when you feel the unworthiness? What do you see?
You see a little girl shrinking.
Yes. And I want you to welcome her. I welcome you, little girl shrinking. I welcome you here. You're welcome just as you are. And then you take a deep breath.
Yeah.
And then you do it again. And you say, where do I feel the unworthiness? Where is the little girl shrinking? Is she here now? Where else is she in your body? You're going to do this again and again. And remember, the first thing you see, that's what you're going to need to know. Don't, because your brain doesn't have a chance to get in the way and say, well, I don't know if that's true or not. And if your brain does try to get in the way, bow to it. Say, thanks so much, brain. I need you to step aside right now because I need to feel rather than analyze. And your brain will do what you say. Layer by layer, you're going to go through the little girl shrinking. You're going to find her deep, deep in you. You're going to find those experiences. You're going to dissolve them. And then the last step. As you begin to feel the expansive love, I want you to ask the little girl to come with you. And you're going to take her into the joy and into the love. You're taking her to a new place. And you're going to taste it. You're going to smell it. You're going to see it. You're going to feel it. Do it with her so that she can be in that safe place. She doesn't have to live in the unworthiness in your subconscious anymore because she's one of your traumatized selves pounding on your subconscious, trying to get your attention right now. And that distorts the field and attracts the attacks, right? So once you bring her home into joy by going through all those layers of emotion in your body, finding them in the body, they might be in your pinky, they might be in your stomach, they might. But they're going to change, they're going to soften, they're going to evolve, they're going to dissolve and unravel, and that's how you'll do this. And then at the end, when you feel the expansiveness, and this could take a day, it could take 2 days, it could take a couple of weeks, but as you go through it, you're going to find this opportunity to embody all that lightness of being and that joy again, and you're going to want to make sure you take her hand and you take her with you into that. That way she gets her needs met, so you don't have to relive what she went through, but you do need to make sure you meet her needs, and then she's not going to be running the show from the subconscious, bringing that distortion into the world, attracting the attacks, right?
Okay. Uh-huh.
Good.
Thank you so much. That's beautiful.
Beautiful journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
Blessings to you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Right now. Thanks for being here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, Elizabeth, thank you for being here again. Thank you for being on the Wisdom Show. It has been wonderful as always. Yeah, what an experience to have you. It's just a blessing to have you and share and your insights and your service, your readings. So beautiful. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Ian. I'm so glad to serve the community, and I'm hoping to be online tomorrow on your Facebook group on Friday evening at some point. I'm going to try to pop in, and I'll try to warn everybody beforehand on the Facebook group what time I'll be on. But I'm going to try to come in at for about 30 minutes or so and answer these same exact questions. So if you want to look on the Facebook group sometime tomorrow, and I'll let everybody know what time I'll be on, and if you'd like me to do a quick remote viewing for you of what polarity you need to look at right now or what quality of light, then let's do it. I'd be happy to. I know that that can be really precious, and make sure that some of the folks who came today get to have that chance.
Beautiful. By the way, everyone, that is Wisdom of the Ancients group. It's actually called that. So just type in Wisdom of the Ancients group and make sure you remember. A member, not remember. Well, make sure you remember and that you are a member.
exactly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't take ourselves too seriously around here.
Good.
Okay. yeah, wait for Elizabeth to make her post, otherwise she can't find you. So once she's posted, then you can comment with your question. If you just comment randomly in different places, she won't find you.
Yeah, then I won't be able to see it. Yeah.
I'll
post in the morning, I promise.
Okay.
And I'll get to as many people as I can in 30 minutes.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it.
Elizabeth,
unless something else is coming through that you feel that you'd like to share with the Wisdom community, the tribe, as a final word or anything, please do.
Yeah. One last thing. Here's the deal. Anyone who's human right now, you are here for advancement. Anyone who's human right now, you're in these bodies, and they're precious. They are precious bodies. These experiences and this suffering is precious. And every layer you heal, every garbage bag you get out of your field, every single aspect of light that you welcome in and you merge with, is affecting and changing the whole collective. There is no such thing as a personal experience. It's always tied to the collective, to the planet, to the solar system, the galaxy, the universe. Every single one of you is intimately involved in the story that is the human experience. And the goal, we have a goal. And it's not a future prophecy, my friends. Every single moment, we have to work towards this. The goal is that we are going to be emissaries of universal compassion and unconditional love. In this galaxy and many others, we can do that. It is possible for us to do that. That's one of the many billions of timelines in the future that is available. And every moment you're willing to go into the suffering bravely and to take that road of fear with that big old signpost that says, this is your greatest fear. When you take that road, it takes you higher every time. And when you do that, you do it on behalf of so many beings, the entire planet, this conscious living planet. You're doing it for her too. We're doing it together. Everything you're experiencing, even if you feel like you're alone, is happening to everyone else around you in incredible waves of change. Please do not underestimate. Every moment of pain you experience is precious to your advancement and to the advancement of our experiment here. And we're going to win. If I have anything to say about it, which I don't have a lot to say over these things, but I want to be your cheerleader. We're here as humans in these precious bodies to do this precious work, but the outcome is far beyond this planet. The outcome will be galactic. It will be universal, And we'll keep answering that question. Can you find love in the darkest of places? Can love overcome power over? Can love overcome oppression? Can love overcome suffering? Can love be found in those places? Yes. Yes, the answer is yes. And you get that chance every time you feel bad, every time you feel sad or angry, to do that journey. And it's not just for you. It's for your soul. It's for your lineage. It's for all the people that came before us and everyone who will come after. And so I just want to lift everybody up and elevate you to a position of importance, because without you as a particular individual, the book is not complete. The story is not complete without you. So I want you to know that you are so precious. Your body's unique in all this world, and so is your soul. And to thank you for showing up at this particular time, because it's one of the toughest times we've ever had. It's one of the newest, most fresh times in our navigating of consciousness. And so here we are. We're doing it together. We're all one. We're all on the edge of consciousness. You're on the cutting edge. Ian and I are on the cutting edge. We're all together. No one's above anybody. This is all new waters. We're doing it together.
Much love. Thank you, sweet soul. Thank you, everyone, for being here today. Beautiful souls, thank you for being here. Yes, it's so amazing to hear those words and hear the resonance. Your soul knows the truth that is spoken. Your soul knows the truth that has been spoken today. Thank you, sacred souls, beautiful, magnificent ones, for being here. We thank Divine Mother, Divine Father, Mother Earth and Father Sun. We thank the Ancient Ones, the Ascended Masters, all those spoken and unspoken, all those known and unknown who are here, who are supporting us in our journey. Much love to you all. Namaste. Bye now.
Namaste.